That's about 3 hours away from us.
Is it? I was going to ask you how close. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he
doing there? Doing a show?
Good morning, all.
Good morning. He has the Big E. That's the four-state exposition. I think it's Connecticut, Vermont, Rhode Island, Delaware. I don't know.
Not Massachusetts.
Yeah,
everything's
I've never
around
been.
Us.
Anyway.
It's like everything's around us, but Massachusetts, I don't know, we're like the forgotten state, I swear.
Isn't that something? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Anita. How are you?
Oh, it's weird. We were at the fair yesterday.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
What did you do at the fair over there? Did you just go to visit?
Well, we were there Monday just for anyhow, because if we've got our grocery cards, Dylan's cards, we can get in for free on that day. And then yesterday they had a chitters contest, and my husband went along to help with that since he belongs to the association. So.
Oh, good. Now,
I didn't catch that.
No, is that a big fair?
Well, not nearly as big as the ones on the coast, but big enough.
Yeah.
A lot of ground to cover and a lot of things to see, so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good. Who else joined us? Somebody else came in? Hi, this morning. What's happening with everybody? Anything exciting going on or any new recipes or challenges?
Last night I wanted to have something Mexican. I don't know why. I just wanted, you know, something like a bean burrito or something. I don't know. And I looked in my cabinet and I had a free fried bean in a can. I bought it, and I didn't know what the heck to do with it, so I opened it up anyways. I said, well, what the heck, and then I had these tomato chilies or whatever. I threw that in a pan, and some corn. I threw that in some corn, and I just simmered that all up with peppers and onions, and then I just put it over some nice rice. It was very, very good, very satisfying.
Wow.
Very simple. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. It didn't take me any time to make it.
I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I do.
That's great. Yeah, I have I usually have a Mexican food kind of thing every now and then. Like I want beans. I bought black beans yesterday to make something. Oh, a black bean salad. I have a recipe hanging around here that I haven't tried yet, so. It's just a simple one with bell peppers and onions and garlic, cilantro. It's got red and yellow bell peppers. But I think corn to mine, too. Sounds good. Maybe I'll make that today. Something I tried last night for the first time, I thought I'd made it before, but I didn't, is... but I think Char had made it one time a couple of years ago when I was in Oregon, is an avocado kale salad where you rub it with salt. And, boy, was that good. And I'm here by myself now, so I thought, oh, I better not eat the whole thing. But it was really, that one's out of the Rainbow Green Live Foods cuisine recipe book.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Heard some moving around there. That was really good. If you like kale and you like avocado, it's real simple. It went together quicker than I thought. And the whole bunch of kale, as you rub it with the salt, goes down like spinach. When you cook spinach, you know, it goes down to hardly anything.
Mm.
It seems like. But, boy, it was good. And you put tomato, you massage it, you chop the kale up into fine, you take out the main stem, and then you finely chop the leaves into a bowl, and then you add a teaspoon of salt, and you massage the kale until it wilts. Then you add two teaspoons of lemon juice, and you massage it some more. And then you chop up a large tomato and an avocado. A large tomato, let's see, and some olives. And I used a quarter cup of olives. I just bought some different kinds of olives and cut them up. And you put that in on top, and then you blend an avocado with 2 tablespoons of olive oil and a stalk of celery, and you blend that together. And you put that on top of the salad, and then you mix it all together. And I tell you, it was delicious.
Okay, you blend an avocado, but you also put one in, or?
No, you just blend that. That just goes on top.
Okay, like so you've got the kale and tomato and your olives in the salad then?
Uh-huh. And you kind of put that on top of after you massaged it with the salt and the lemon juice.
How much lemon juice again?
2 teaspoons.
Okay.
And then you blend 1 avocado, 2 tablespoons of olive oil,
mm-hmm.
and a stalk of celery. You blend that together. I use my bullet. Blend it together, and it makes kind of a creamy dressing, and you pour that over the salad, and then you mix it really well to coat all the kale leaves.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was really good, and it had variations. You can add a cup of shredded veggies, or you could add 1/2 cup of pine nuts, you know, so you could add other things to it. I just thought I'd just make it the basic. But it says kale is one of the most nutrient-dense items you can buy in your whole food store. However, for most people, it's too fibrous. But at the Tree of Life Cafe, which is this guy who wrote the book, owns the Tree of Life Cafe and somewhere in Phoenix, somewhere in Arizona here. Anyway, appeals to everyone. The kale salad there appeals to everybody. It's a big favorite. So I thought it was really good. The flavors are really, really great. It seemed a little bit salty for me, but I don't normally salt things. But it was very good. And so I was thinking I might cut back. It could have been the olives that were so salty, too. I bought a thing of mixed olives from the deli section.
Mm, yeah.
In a little thing. And so there were green olives and black olives and brown olives, Kalamatas and all of those. So it could have been the brine that they were soaked into. But anyway, it was delicious, and I'll see how it kept, because I couldn't eat the whole thing by myself. I probably could have had I not stopped, but...
Is that the one that Char had made one time or talked about?
Yeah.
Because there was one that she was saying that tasted better the longer it stayed in the fridge. She was recommending people leave it in the fridge for a while, so...
Okay.
That may be different, but that seemed like it was a rubbed kale and that you rubbed it with salt, so...
Yeah, I bet you that is it. I have had hers. I think the first time I had it was a couple of years ago at her house.
Mm-hmm.
A while back, and I remember thinking, wow, that is delicious. I have to make that. Well, I finally got the recipe book and flipped through it, and I thought, oh, I'm going to make that.
I think that recipe came down line, but I don't know where it's at. I mean, I've got it around here someplace, so.
Yeah. I'll have to ask her about that, too. I had called her yesterday while I was at the store because it called for that dinosaur kale called Lacinado, Lacinado. And they didn't have it, but they had organic, regular kale. She goes, oh, yeah, I've used all kinds of kale.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've still got growing in the garden that's doing really well.
Oh, good.
Now that the heat is kind of over with, why, it, all my stuff is perked up, the kale and the Swiss chard, and my husband says the peppers are setting on like crazy now that they're not going to mature before it freezes, probably.
Oh, wow.
And he brought in handful of okra this morning, so.
Oh, how wonderful. How big of a garden do you have?
Oh, I'm not sure. It's a pretty good size one. We've got a long backyard, and he's got the whole back half in garden, so.
Oh, how nice.
Of course, a lot of it's in watermelon vine right now, so.
Mm-hmm. How nice. Wonderful. One day I'm going to have a garden. That'll be awesome. And Dr. Oz last night, anybody see Dr. Oz's show yesterday?
No, we were gone, and I won't get to see it this morning either, so. They always repeat it here the next morning, but I have to go to the office, so.
Yeah. Hey, Jeannie?
Yeah.
Well, I could just about hear you. You're talking very quietly today.
Oh, am I? I'm sorry. You know what? Let me put my headset. I have my speakerphone on.
Just do start.
All right, because I can hear Anita fine, but I'm just driving to my daughter's house, and I have you on mute, and I'm trying to get what you're saying, and it's very hard. But I can hear Anita, so I know it's not the phone. I brought some acorn squash and some butternut squash. Do you have any hints on how to cook it, or how to prepare it for you? You know, because I know they're both hard vegetables to cut, you know. Do you have any hints on how to prepare them?
Is this better?
Not. Keep talking.
No, it's not better, huh?
No, that's better.
I hit star 4 and it gave me all these menu options. I was like, whoops, that's not it. I'll just talk louder. How's that?
Oh, much better. Thanks.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, it's all right. You don't know.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me know. So anyway,
did you hear my question?
No, what was the question?
My question was, I just bought some acorn and butternut squash, and they're a hard vegetable, you know what I mean, as far as trying to cut them prior to using them. And what I wanted to do, I mean, I've seen this recipe about stuffing the butternut squash, you know, you cut it in half and everything, and I know I've done things with the acorn squash, but do you have any hints on, you know, do you parboil them or do you pre-cook them or in order to make it easier to, and if you do that, do you just puncture little holes in it or, I mean.
You mean to cut them, huh?
Yeah.
It depends on what you're using for.
Yeah. What do you want to use it for?
Well, I was thinking of stuffing the butternut squash. I seen that. I think it was in the Vegetarian Times.
Loretta
has arrived.
They had the butternut squash stuffed, if I'm not mistaken. And it looked kind of good, you know. And I said, gee, that'd be something different to have, you know.
That would be good. I wonder if you couldn't, do you have a microwave?
I do.
It seems to me I read something somewhere that you could nuke it for a short amount of time to soften the skin a little bit, but I don't know for sure. I don't know where I read that. I was trying to think of where I read it. I usually just kind of work my way through the, now where the seeds are in the butternut squash, if you can poke a knife straight down through there, the wall of it is thinner. You know, the squash is thinner there because the seeds are in that rounded part.
And I believe in the butternut, if you can just cut a small triangle, you can make the whole thing whole, as long as there's an escape of the steam. And for the acorn, if you just put a sharp, even like a steak knife in, and go around, That's one of the easiest ones I find to cut compared to the others anyway. It's not easy, but it's easier to just go around it. Even sometimes a small paring knife, if it's sharp, will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Nancy.
Sure.
Thank you, Nancy.
Welcome.
How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Good, good, good. Did you see Dr. Oz with...
Not yet. Chef, what was that? What was that?
Chef Rocco. Chef Rocco.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the chefs that I've seen before on the cooking channels and stuff, but I guess he had gained a lot of weight and kind of showed a brief thing about him. I got in halfway through the show, so I didn't see the whole show, but his doctor had told him that, you know, you need to lose some weight with his Italian heritage and all this kind of stuff, and he needed to cut back, so he started working out, and they did a 500-calorie dinner rule, or I think I wrote rule right there, but and so he showed, the fastest way to gain weight is to eat your heaviest calories at your last meal. So Dr. Oz said he's going to work on, wants everyone to limit their calories to 500 calories for dinner.
Oh, and Maine, your last meal is supposed to be like a proper.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, I remember you guys saying that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Rocco's been on before.
Has he been on before?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he showed a meal. He had Chef Rocco prepare a beautiful meal there. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
The three rules were no more than 4 ounces of protein, and a lean protein, and they brought out a slab of salmon. No, actually, I think there was a steak first. And he said, don't eat the steak.
There's a lot of substituting.
Yeah. But that would be 200 calories. He had the girl cut it the size of a normal kitchen sponge, you know, the little...
Oh, okay.
I always say deck of a cards.
Right.
Then fill up on fiber.
Mm-hmm. First.
He gave her a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He gave her a choice of pasta or peas, and said which one has more fiber, and she picked the peas, and he goes, oh, you're so smart, that's right. So 5 grams per serving, and Rocco took a 4-ounce ladle, like a soup ladle is usually about 4 ounces, and that's a serving size of peas, and a 4-ounce volume, not weight, but the volume. And then double the veggies, and he did the huge thing with sauce on the he made a tamarind paste and mustard sauce that went on these vegetables,
mm-hmm.
and that was 100 calories. So anyway, he made that, and the sauce was made. He put this sauce on a salmon too, which I think would be good on something else. It was Dijon mustard, citrus, some red onion, and salt and pepper, and he spread that on the salmon and then broiled it. But I think you could use that on. I'm going to try that on our. Like on a tempeh or on a tofu marinade or something like that. I think it'd be really good. And Dr. Oz is launching. He was launching his Healthy Dinner Club.
Mm-hmm.
He had started in your area.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, if you lose 10 pounds, you can add a decade to your life.
That's his bandwagon right now.
Yeah.
He keeps saying that every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I was just thinking, remember years ago, they would say, don't eat your salad, like if you're at a restaurant, don't eat your salad first because you'll fill up on that and then you won't be able to eat your dinner.
Yeah.
Do you remember those days?
I do.
We are.
You did last.
Totally the opposite now.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So different.
Interesting. Who the funk? No, he's been saying the 10-pound rule since Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've missed it all week, and I finally turned on the TV last night while I was eating dinner,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, oh, Dr. Oz is on. I keep forgetting. He comes on at night at 8 o'clock here.
Now, interestingly, on the docs yesterday, Dr. Sears, as a pediatrician, could not be on the program because it's such a busy time for him at the office, where they were doing it by polycam of some kind. But he had his father, who's also a pediatrician, on, who gave the 4 F's for building your immune system. How's that for, you know, in order to avoid having to come to the office? Number one,
wow.
Number one was,
fiber, I think.
Wait a minute. No, I wrote it down. Where did I put it? Number one was a smoothie. Oh, four S's to build your immune system. Number one was a smoothie that was fruit and yogurt. Number two was salad. Number three was salmon. And number four was spices, and he mentioned garlic and cinnamon.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting, coming out of a pediatrician, to not get sick by building your immune system? Wow.
Really?
And to do it with food.
That's another thing, too.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And he's an older man.
So that was Barry Sears, did you say?
No. The pediatrician on the docs is Jim Sears. Father's name is, I forget. It's not Jim. I forget what it is. I don't know if they're related to Barry Sears or not.
Okay.
But I've seen the father before. In fact, I believe the father had colon cancer. And that's why Jim is so strong about colonoscopies. Do you hear that, Loretta? No, I was really happy to hear them talking about this.
Nancy?
Yes?
I didn't hear. What did you say?
I said that the older Dr. Sears from the doctors, I believe, had colon cancer, which is why the one who's on the docs is so strong about colonoscopies.
Oh. They're going to call me today and give me a date.
Yay!
Oh, that's good.
Gotta keep it, though.
You'll keep it.
Yeah, I will.
When you feel like canceling, call me.
What?
When you feel like canceling it, call me.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I love the support.
So how is the weather in up there at Parkview? In, I think Char said the next one that maybe they might go to is April or May up in Maine.
It can be cold.
Is it going to be cold? Okay.
It can be.
Okay.
You know, you just got to bring clothes for both. Are you planning on coming?
Layers. Well, you know, I was thinking, Ricky's and my 20th anniversary is coming up in July next year. Uh-huh. We had thought about going to Italy or doing some trip, you know, but I'm thinking, you know what, maybe that would be a great, I haven't talked to him about it, I just had a thought.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought, well, if I start planning towards that, I think he would love it too. I just have to sell him the idea.
That'd be a fun trip. You could make it a fun trip.
Well, definitely. I haven't been up in that part of the country before, and I'm not sure he has either.
Oh.
So we'll have to see how that pans out. I just found too. This was from October the 12th, 09. Nancy, did you send out a whole long thing from, or maybe Char did, from Parkview Lifestyle Choices?
What is it?
It has Cheryl on here, and it has Dr. Howe.
Oh, that's my transcription?
Your transcript must be notes from then.
Yeah. I did, I think, 2 or 3 days, and then I got sidetracked and haven't gotten back to it yet, but yeah, that must be my notes from the lectures.
Yeah, oh good, because I'm glad I found it, because I'll read through that now. I have a file, advanced lifestyle file, and I just throw stuff in there, and I must have been cleaning up, just tucked everything in, and good.
That's a good way to do it, rather than just feel like I do.
Yeah, some of this stuff I've already... We've talked about, though, I try to, when I find stuff, you know, I throw it in there.
Yeah.
I have to admit, here's the thing about cumin, too. Did he say cumin or no, turmeric?
He said turmeric and cinnamon.
And cinnamon, okay.
But aren't turmeric and cumin, don't they share some properties?
I think they do. I think they're related somehow. So, yeah, cumin helps digestion. Let's see. The seeds are rich in important minerals such as calcium, magnesium, iron, and zinc, as well as several of the B vitamins.
What do you guys use, cumin or turmeric on?
I use, when we make our tofu scramble, we'll put it on there, or when we ever do, like, stir-fried potatoes. Ricky's mom, I don't really put oil, much oil on them at all. Ricky's mom makes these potatoes, cuts them in, you know, dice pieces, large dices, and then just put them on the stove with some onions and bell pepper, and just stir them occasionally, but we'll throw them on that too, because it just tastes good and it looks okay. It kind of reminds you of a potato salad almost, even though they're cooked. But yeah, we use it in that and in our eggless egg salad. You could put it in. If you ever do any stir frying, you could do that too. You could sprinkle it on anything, use it like a regular spice. It's just yellow.
Mm. Hey, it gives the yellow color like you were using egg yolks.
Mm.
Right. I had some. It's funny, when we were in Oregon at the fair, we stayed with some friends, and then there were other friends that stayed too. And of course, I bring my whole wellness home with me. It's so funny. But they're always talking about moving in and moving out with me. But I made the eggless egg salad one morning, and one of the guys who's from New Jersey comes in, and he's going, he's putting together his white bread and his ham and cheese sandwiches for the day. And I'm making eggless egg salad. And he's like, "What are you making this morning?" And I said, "Eggless egg salad." He goes, "Come on, can you do that? I can make eggless egg salad." I said, "Well, look." And he goes, "It looks like egg salad." I said, "Do you want to taste it?" He goes, "No." He wouldn't taste it. I said, "It tastes like egg salad." He goes, "What's the
yellow?" People are funny that way, aren't they?
Yeah. He said, "What's the yellow in it then?" And I said, "It's turmeric, which is a good spice." I was telling him about it. He's going, "No thanks." But
is turmeric a little bit stronger than cumin or no?
No, uh-uh.
Okay.
I don't think it's stronger than cumin. I think cumin's stronger than turmeric.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Take a little bit on your finger and taste it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, I love both of them, but I think cumin is more pungent.
Okay.
More pungent flavor. It says the essential oil of cumin carries the promise of potentially controlling bacterial diseases.
Hmm.
Its oil is rich in terpenoids.
Turpentine.
Such as, it names a name, cumin aldehyde. Really? And generates strong bacterial spidal activity against both gram-positive and negative bacteria. It's been shown to inhibit the H. pylori infection.
Wow.
An extract of cumin, turmeric. So that's what turmeric is.
I knew there was a relationship there.
Yeah.
Cumin is the father and turmeric is the child. I thought it was the other way around. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that, it says, is very efficient at killing the Helicobacter pylori. And that's, what is that one? That's,
H. pylori?
H. pylori, yeah. It also provides significant antifungal activity.
Wow.
Cumin belongs to the parsley family of herbs and spices. Right. The same family that contains anise, caraway, coriander, dill, fennel, and parsley. Parsley family boasts some unique phytochemicals such as phthalides and polyacetylenes, which show cancer protective activity and anti-inflammatory properties. The herb has been seen to effectively decrease the incidence of chemically induced tumors of the stomach, colon, and cervix. Its significant antioxidant activity and the ability to modulate the metabolism.
Yeah, I just have a quick question on the bill paste solution, the blue paste. Do you have any expected date that that's going to be, you know, available and part of the program?
I missed that. Hello?
It didn't sound like she was talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
I thought.
For the
we forgot to go on mute. What are you reading from, Gina?
This is from Life Extension Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh gosh, this comes from July of 2008.
Wow. Not that anything changes. Or they discover more.
Yeah. I get their I used to take the Life Extension magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. It's got some really scientific stuff. But I still get their emails and their daily whatever. It's lef.org. They have a lot of interesting things that come up. Cumin also enhances insulin sensitivity. It's in a limited number of studies, cumin seeds have been reported to be hypoglycemic. Cuminaldehyde found in cumin seeds generates an inhibitory activity toward glucose metabolism and shows promise as an anti-diabetic agent.
Great, thanks.
Interesting.
Cinnamon both apparently then have an effect on insulin.
Yeah. And isn't cinnamon good for like blood pressure?
Cinnamon is for blood sugar and I forget whether it's blood pressure or blood cholesterol. One of those, but I don't remember which one.
Because I remember every time I throw it in my smoothie, I'm like, yep. Help with my something, my blood pressure or something.
Yeah, certainly it regulates blood sugar.
Blood sugar, okay,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
And one of the other two, I forget which.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great.
And it tastes good.
Yes, and it tastes good.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
I used to love cinnamon apple, cinnamon toast growing up.
Mm.
But, of course, there was sugar put in there with it, cinnamon sugar, when we were growing up. I don't need to have that on there, though, too. Well, anybody else have any comments or questions about something or something on your mind?
Yeah, I just had Rachel Ray on. I just turned the volume up here. They were showing fatty liver and a regular liver, and they were saying if you ate healthy meals that your liver got huge and fatty and couldn't process foods and things right.
How many unhealthy meals, Ronita?
I didn't say how many unhealthy. It just said
just if you do regularly.
And now they've gone on to belly fat and what happens if you eat a healthy meal and what happens if you eat an unhealthy meal. But the unhealthy meal all that stores all the fat in the belly fat instead of, it working like it's supposed to with the healthy meal. So.
Wow. Does she have a doc on or is she doing all this?
Yeah, she's got two of them on.
Uh-huh.
At least they're all wearing white coats. So.
Uh-huh.
I had it on mute so I didn't hear what was going on. But
isn't that amazing how this is going across the country like wildfire almost?
Yeah, everybody's getting on the bandwagon, which is good.
Yeah, make people more aware.
Yeah.
I always come back, you know, with the China study, Dr. Campbell says in the beginning, you know, about how people are really confused about what's going on, what to eat, what not to eat. It changes all the time and that kind of thing. And his goal was to help people make simple and make it more simple, something like that.
Yeah.
I always think. And so I'm thinking people are either going to go, oh, my gosh, I don't know what to eat, which my husband has done that many times when we've, if we have changed our diet, like when we switched over to the China study or started doing plant-based, I should just put it that way. He's like, oh, now I don't know what to eat. What do I do now? So.
Now my husband's very stubborn. He just keeps eating his meat and whatever.
Yeah. Well, there's
interestingly, I believe it may have been Today's show this morning. I don't think it was Good Morning America. Maria Shriver's daughter was on, who's, I believe they said, a sophomore in college. I don't know if she's the oldest one or not. Pretty girl. Who just wrote a book about something having to do with body image. When she was 10, and they showed a picture, she was chunky. She hated herself. And she wants other kids to know that you have to find things to like about yourself. Because it's so demoralizing as a 10-year-old to feel like you're the only one who feels this way and how horrible she felt. You know, her father was a bodybuilder and her mother is one of the Kennedys, and here she is hating herself and hating her body, and they're a very athletic family. They ride bikes together, da-da-da-da. And it sounds like she's reaching out to other kids. And there's one section in there that's for parents, they said. Or mothers, probably, mothers and daughters.
That would be a really good book.
Uh-huh.
To have in our library. That's true, because you do kind of...
Yeah, she was only 10, she said. She couldn't believe that she felt that way at so young. I'm going on with you, they come.
It's nice to have people reaching out like that and telling their stories. And I think that's really good.
Yeah, she's a pretty girl.
Is that like the landscapers?
Yeah, they're weed whacking in the rain.
Weed whacking in the rain, oh.
And I have the windows closed, so you can imagine. Although I see he has earplugs in.
That's good.
Yes.
Well, y'all have a good day then. Anything else on your mind or any thoughts?
That was a good call. Thanks, Jeannie.
Thanks for the info, Jeannie.
Your participation. Love you guys. Take care.
Have a good one.
Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.